In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I suppose if we look at the gospel lesson today from a human point of view, we'd say that Jesus had a bad day. He went to his hometown. You would have thought they would have been thrilled to see him. But of course, evidently, he was not, and his family were not really all that well revered in his family. He's just a carpenter. Of course, there's no indication that Joseph was his father. Maybe they all thought that somehow his birth was kind of, well, scandalous. And of course, we'll have Matthew and Luke both through the Christmas narratives, right, explain to us that what looks to human eyes to be scandalous was actually the work of God in a very mysterious kind of way. But they didn't seem to know that. And of course, he had brothers, and obviously the brothers must have not been all that impressive either, nor his sisters. And so they said, who does this guy think? And they heard him going around and preaching that he can teach what he's teaching. Wouldn't it be great if Mark would have told us exactly what the sermon was about? But we only can conjecture that from the very larger message of Mark itself. But from the perspective of us as human beings, it seemed that Jesus had a bad day. He failed. He preached a sermon and it connected with nobody. Nobody believed. They were indeed scandalized by him. Maybe he was preaching in such a way that he was God come among them to grant them forgiveness for their sins. And they said, who are you? We know your background. Who are you to forgive us? Who are you to say you come in the name of God? We don't know. But they were greatly offended. From a human point of view, it was a bad day for Jesus. And we even know from a human point of view, this might not be his worst day. There's going to be one coming down the road in which people will be so scandalized by what he says and who he claims to be and what he wants to give and to whom he wants to give it, sinners, the poor, that they will nail him to a cross and tease him and taunt him while he's on that cross. It'll be a bad day from a human point of view. And yet, from God's point of view, this is not a bad day for Jesus. This was a bad day for his listeners because they didn't make the connection. It was a bad day for them because by not making a connection to what Jesus was saying, they were going to miss out on what Jesus had to give. Forgiveness. Nothing is probably more haughty than to think you don't need forgiveness. And yet how easy it is for us to take that stature in life. As a matter of fact, that this was a bad day for the people who didn't believe is demonstrated by the fact that Jesus was scratching his head and he was amazed that they did not want what he had to give them. And yet, isn't that a common everyday experience yet today? We go from day to day, and some days we may take to heart and have a connection with the power and the love of Christ in our lives, and some days we don't. And it is woe to us what we miss out on when we walk without faith, when we don't receive what he has to give, and instead walk by our own power, our own strength, and our own might. Those are the truly, really bad days. Even if from a human point of view, they may look like the pinnacle of success. What's amazing, though, for us, is that what Jesus does with this bad day, we would think that he would give up on them, but he does not. What he does is he goes about teaching all the more, as he goes through town after town after town, because he's intent on being the one who gives to the world the one thing that nothing else can give it, God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. He comes proclaiming a ministry of repentance, changing of our minds because of the way we've lived, the attitudes that we have taken on, so that we might, in that repentance, receive forgiveness, and by the power of that forgiveness, blow a new spirit of refreshment into the world. What Jesus does after this day that from a human point of view looks like failure is that he actually ups the ante on what it means to getting the word out into the world with the hope that by the power of the Spirit it'll make a connection in people's lives. He calls the 12 disciples. He calls those whom a connection has been made and says, as I have connected with you, so you go and connect me to others. That is the nature of the ministry that God has given to us, the church. And he's authorized us to go into the world to do that. Does it mean we will always be successful in this? No, it doesn't. We rejoice when it is. As a matter of fact, our family grows when it does. But when it does, well, Jesus has some strange words here. He says, shake the dust off your feet and go as a testimony to them. I'm retranslating what's in our text. I think the testimony is better, the translation is better, a testimony to them instead of against them. A testimony to them that the word of God has come to them. It's exactly like what we heard spoken in our first lesson from Ezekiel. Remember, he calls Ezekiel to go into the world to a very stubborn nation of Israel. And boy, have we known how stubborn our own nation can be in terms of living for the common good, living the word of God. We know how hard it is for the nation to follow and to live off of the blessings that it has given, instead to haughtily think that it deserves them. We know that our nation can be like Israel's nation. And of course, God raises up prophets, and we know we've had prophets throughout the ages who've spoken the word to the nation. Oftentimes it was rejected. But as God said to Ezekiel, I commission you to go and to speak my word, to speak the truth. And whether they hear or they don't hear is not up to you. The point is I want them to know the word has been spoken. And now it's left to them to figure out what to do with it. Will they believe or will they not? And that's true of our ministry as well. We are called to speak the word. We are called to bear witness to Christ's love, his forgiveness. And whether it is received or not received is not up to us. It's up to the power of the wind of the Spirit as it blows where it wills. But nevertheless, what is up to us is to be that extension cord, right? To bring the power of Christ through our testimony and our witness to those who are in need of it, which, as the scriptures bear witness, is everyone, whether we are on the good or the bad side of the railroad tracks, whether our families are of repute or ill repute. That makes no difference. It is as God had said to Paul. All you need to know is this. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, of course, had a revelation. He was caught up into the third heaven, as Paul says. And there he learned things that he said, I'm not allowed to tell you. And we go like, oh, if only you would tell us what you learned when you had this revelation, when you had this miraculous elevation into the courts of God. But he says there's some things that God doesn't want you to know. But he says, this is what God wants you to know. My grace is sufficient for you. This God wants us to know. My power is made perfect in weakness. This God wants us to know that through the death and resurrection of his Son, comes forgiveness and new life for the world. That's the thing that God wants us to know. And it is even out of our weakness that the proclamation of that gospel probably becomes the strongest. Our world thinks people are impressed by strength, and probably they are. But God is impressed by when the weak simply carry out God's word and God's will in the world, under persecution, under strife, as Paul describes it, under hardship, under calamities, all for Christ's sake. Because in that weakness, as that persistence happens, an inner strength, the strength of Christ himself, the strength and the power of the Spirit itself, is at work moving us. So today, the message is simple. Listen to the word of the Lord and give thanks to God when it makes a connection. Be the extension cord of God into the world, that others may hear his word, and by the grace of God, hopefully, a connection will be made. No matter what obstacles we may face along the way, no matter what weaknesses we may find in our own proclamation of the faith, our own living out of the love of Christ, do not be scandalized by that. But know that as the weak continue to love and to forgive, they are demonstrating a strength that surpasses all understanding, the strength of Christ himself, who died and rose for us. Amen.